I'm Jed Lipinski. In Gone South Season 4, we'll be bringing you new stories every week with no end in sight. Listen to and follow Gone South, an Odyssey original podcast, on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
What a week it's been for sports in Minnesota. Not only are our teams winning, but we had something happen to us this week in Minnesota that has never happened in our Minnesota Wild hockey franchise, and has only happened, I think, 17 other times in the history of the National Hockey League. And I think some of those you could probably say were not really goalie goals. But, Pete, did you see it? Did you see the Gus bus?
I thought he grabs, that was great, man.
Yeah, he grabs the puck and he rips and shoots it down the other end. They score against St. Louis. By the way, the Wild have yet to trail in a game in regulation this season. Nice start for them. Granted, two games were against Columbus, but still a good start. So it made me wonder, though, and I was thinking about some of these like amazing little weird sports things that we never get to see, right? We don't get to see goalie goals. We don't get to see big fat lineman touchdowns very much, but I love those. What is more, they're both kind of unicorns, right? But what is the bigger sports feat? Is it a goalie goal or is it a lineman touchdown?
That is really tough, to be honest with you, because what you just said, I would have expected there's been more and than anybody would ever probably anticipate of the goalie making it, because let's be honest, you pull out your goalie, right? You get your extra player on the ice, and if the goalie actually gets the puck and is able to sling it down the other way, I would have just thought there'd be more of those kind of goals getting made I'm a little bit shocked by that. But I will say this, Dave, there is something so special to see an offensive lineman, because the better side of that you got to remember is, let's just say this is in college or maybe even the NFL, but let's say it's a college game. The kid's probably 20, 21 years old. He's 330 pounds, 340 pounds. He's been the big kid his entire life. He never got to carry the ball. He might not have ever actually touched a ball during a game. And now all of a sudden he's getting the ball passed to him. That's got to be about as exciting as it gets. And you know what? Sometimes they run it, sometimes they catch it, whatever. But the excitement that you see from those guys when they get that kind of a play done as an offensive lineman, it's just something really, really special in the NFL, in college, even in high school, whatever. It's just an amazing thing. But I think especially the college, it's just special when you see a big, huge guy who gets that one opportunity. And you just feel for the guys who screw that up, by the way.
Yeah.
They're wide open. Everything is there and they drop it.
I always think of Refrigerator Perry.
Yep.
Right. I mean, he was the ultimate fullback on the goal line. 651-461-9226. It's the StylesFinancial.com talk and text line. What is the bigger sports feat, goalie goal or lineman touchdown? I'm looking at this now, only 15 goaltenders in total have scored goalie goals. Hmm. The first one in 1979, Billy Smith with the New York Islanders. He's the first one to do it. And some of these basically kind of they're the last person to touch it before it goes into the other end, which I think cheats. I love them both. I think it's fun.
Yeah.
I think it's a great way to change up the game, you know, and it's got to be the right scenario where the goalie gets the puck. He's got the perfect, you know, the perfect room. But, I mean, they're shooting. You know, I would argue shooting a puck from the other side of the ice, even if you're a forward or a defenseman, is difficult to make it all the way down with people skating in front of you.
That's so easy.
To be a lineman, and I mean, big guy touchdowns usually come from like 3 yards out. I mean, they only have to go 3 yards to get it.
It's not
so
a
for
long
me, I think the goalie goal is a little bit more difficult to pull off than the fat guy lineman touchdown. That's me.
It sounds like you're getting a little pushback from Josh on that one.
What do you think, Josh?
As a guy that weighs as much as a lineman, it's so easy to shoot a goalie goal and make it in the net. Come on now.
Well, and the other, I would say this too, the nerves. I don't think the goalie has nerves when he's already made the stop of the puck, right? Now he's going to sling it. But I think the nerves of the offensive lineman, knowing the ball's coming and that extra pressure that they've never had on them before to make that catch. I'd love to see our big left tackle, Ursary, go out there. Because here's a guy about 6'8", 345 pounds, yeah. And he's athletic. And a lot of people have him going pretty high in the draft for this coming year for the NFL. But he's still big, but he's also athletic. And even with all that size, that's something I'd love to see the Gophers. You know, if I go to practice and I see him working on it, I'm not going to tell you guys. But I would love to see that happen in a game, because that would be a, you know, and who's going to block him? Who's going to be able to get in the way of that behemoth as he gets out there in the
second half? And these linemen are all so much more – they're so much stronger and more athletic.
Right.
I mean, William Refrigerator Perry was a large human being. Athletic, I don't think, is something I would attach to his name. He was very strong. Yep. He was a great blocker. I don't think like, oh, that guy's an athlete. Mm-hmm. When I look at him, and then maybe I'm way wrong for that. He's obviously more of an athlete than I am, but it's still very interesting. Love to hear what you think. 651-461-9226. Hey, while we're on the subject of the talk and text line here, someone texted in. First of all, they're all saying we jinxed the Vikings by referring to
good Lord, really?
Jamal Darnold and Sam Bradford, which I started that, and I apologize. Before the season started, didn't I hear one or both of you predicting an 0-7 start for the Vikings and the Gophers? I don't believe that was me.
We never said an 0-7 start. No one ever said
that. There's no way you went 0-7. I know that.
I did say, and I'm the first, I'll stand up, wave my arms. I was critical of our quarterback. I was also curious to see where we would land in terms of our division, because at the start of the season, you've got Green Bay, you've got Detroit. You know, you didn't know what Chicago's really got, but it turns out Chicago is getting a little bit better and a little bit better. So it's good. You know, it's still very early, and we're 5-0, and that's fantastic. No one ever said 0-7 for either. No. As a matter of fact, I said that the Gophers are going to win 8 games, and you and I probably at some point will be kicking around what we think about these final part of the season, because it's going to be very interesting, Dave. The Gophers have a pretty interesting lineup in front of them. So 0-7, never said it. Never said it for either.
No, I would – even if I didn't hear you, I would say I think Pete was probably closer to guessing a 7-0 start than an 0-7 start. Now, I could probably be accused of going on saying an 0-7 start, but I did not think that they would start 0-7. So, but here they are. Vikings are 5-0, playing Detroit today. It's a noon kickoff down at U.S. Bank Stadium. Matthew Collar will join us around the corner to talk more about that Vikings game. We'll chat with him coming up next. You're listening to The Huddle on 830 WCCO. We'll get Pete's honest opinion on the Pink show later, his review of the Pink concert. But first, our good friend Matthew Collar joining us this morning. I would assume, are you at U.S. Bank Stadium, buddy?
I don't know how much you can hear in the background. Maybe they'll play a Galahorn for you here at some point. But, yes, sir, I am inside U.S. Bank Stadium. As always, every single home game since 2016, my friend.
Good for you. Good for you. Aaron Jones is active today. I guess I'm a little surprised, but from what you've seen this week and heard, what sort of workload is he going to have?
Yeah, I think that the bye week was really big for him, and he did miss one practice, but then he was limited in two other practices, and he looked like he was moving around pretty well in the small period of time that we get to see practice and the stretching type of period. I thought he was pretty sure to play based on Kevin O'Connell's mood at the podium on Friday. I thought that he would be pretty unhappy if Aaron Jones wasn't going to play. But, I would expect a pretty full workload for him. I mean, hamstrings, I know, are pretty hard to predict. There's the Galahorn.
There's the Galahorn. Further proof he is live, folks.
Yeah, I am definitely here. So, I think that they also now have two other running backs that Kevin O'Connell trusts, though. So if Aaron Jones is not at 100%, the fact that they brought in Cam Akers, O'Connell has always been a huge fan of Cam Akers. He can pass protect. He can get you short yardage. And then Ty Chandler, it's been a little more up and down with him. But I think if you can use him and just sort of get him in there for a series or two, kind of look for a few explosive plays and things like that, I think that they're probably going to mix and match a little bit. But what we've seen from this season is when Aaron Jones is out there, they're going to use him, and they're going to use him a lot. And I think that that's a huge factor in this game. I think that he's been really the offensive MVP of this team through 5 weeks, and we saw when he was out just how different the offense really was.
I totally agree with you, Matthew. I look at the Vikings, and if Aaron Jones is not on the field, I think it's a much different team, and it's going to be affecting the quarterback more than anybody else. I think Mund has done a great job of filling in for Hockenson so far, and obviously we miss Hockenson, but it really hasn't hurt us that bad. We also have Josh Oliver. He's been great. But how about on the defensive side with Blake Cashman? And he's got this turf toe, and he's had an unbelievable start to this season. But what do we do? Are we going to be that much weaker, or is his backup somebody that can step in there and play at least close to the level of Blake?
Yeah, I mean, I think it's really hard to play to the level of Blake Cashman. I think he's been a top-10 linebacker in the NFL so far this year. I mean, he is so valuable to them because he can do everything. He can rush the passer. He's great in coverage. He covers so much area in such a short amount of time. His quickness is fantastic. But the biggest thing that is going to be different with Cashman is really his eyes and his mind, because he's the guy that's making the calls at the line of scrimmage. So he's making all those checks and changes. And what he's done a great job of is when he sees the quarterback shift the protection or he sees the offensive line make a change, he's communicating to the defensive line. He's communicating to the front seven, all right, now we're going to change how we're rushing. That's not an easy thing to do. And Brian Flores, I think, is taking full advantage of how smart Blake Cashman is and how great his instincts are. Now it's going to be Ivan Pace Jr., who I think also is a smart and instinctual player, but it's not quite the same in terms of the level of experience. Blake Cashman has been around for quite a long time, so I think we might see Brian Flores take a little bit more command as opposed to kind of leaving it to Cashman to make all of those calls. That is a major factor, but also they do have, I think, one of the best backup linebackers you're ever going to see in the NFL in Kamu Grugier-Hill, who's made several big plays so far. He's been a starter for a lot of his career. So to have him be able to come in, he's got an interception. He caused the fumble, you know, when he's got an opportunity to play. So I think it'll be Grugier-Hill. You're also going to see Josh Metellus line up at linebacker. But what I think comes down to is, can these guys stop the run? Because Grugier-Hill is smaller. Metellus is obviously more of a safety than he is a linebacker. Blake Cashman gave them some grit in terms of the run stopping, and I think he's been one of the best run stuffers in the entire NFL. Not having them against a team that runs the ball like this could definitely be a factor.
Matthew Collar of Purple Insider joining us on the John Schuster Coldwell Banker Hotline. If you haven't signed up, sign up for Purple Insider. Matt, I'm not blowing smoke here. It is the best. It is just phenomenal reporting. You've been around the team for a long time. So if you have not signed up, make sure you do that. The Lions will be without Aiden Hutchinson today and for some time. How much does that change things for them in terms of how much pressure they're going to be able to get on Sam Darnold?
Enormously. I mean, you just can't say enough how good Aiden Hutchinson was this year. I think he was the defensive MVP of the entire league. He was, going into last week, he was not only leading the NFL in quarterback pressures, he was ahead of the next best guy, which happened to be Jonathan Greenard, by 11 pressures on the season. So he was so far ahead of anybody else. And, you know, if you're the Vikings, you would have normally spent your entire week trying to figure out, all right, how are we going to double him? How are we going to chip him? How are we going to roll the quarterback away from wherever he is? And now you don't have to worry about that stuff. I mean, Brian O'Neill and Christian Darrisaw, they're going to lock their guys down. But where there still is a concern here is the interior. The Lions made a great move in the offseason. They went out and got DJ Reader as a free agent. He's a beast. And they also have a guy who they just gave a huge contract extension to, Alain McNeil, who has really given the Vikings problems in the past. And he's probably going to be lined up against Ed Ingram, who has been the bane of everybody's existence here through the first five games, has really struggled. He's grading by PFF as one of the worst guards in the league. I would say that pretty clearly matches up with the eye test. And so that's still a matchup to watch. But now, you know, you can use a running back to help out a little bit on the inside. You can double a little bit to Ingram's side. If Hutchinson was playing, you can't do that stuff because you have to really dedicate everybody to trying to stop him. I also am very curious to see the amount of aggressiveness that the Detroit's going to use in terms of blitzing. Like, are they all of a sudden now going to ramp up how much they blitz to come after the quarterback? They've done it a lot on third downs, not usually as much on first and second. So will we see them early down blitzing now that they don't have their guy who's created all that pressure?
And Matthew, one of the guys that's really stepped up this year again, and especially at his age, I think has been really impressive for the Minnesota Vikings, is Harrison Smith. He is quietly having a really, really good year so far in what he's done, a year, five games. But he's looked, I think, outstanding. And then Pat Jones has really stepped up along with Grenard. So when you look at what we're doing on defense, I like it. But here's one of the issues that I've got. They can run the football better than almost anybody in the NFL. Montgomery and Gibbs are outstanding. They got a great offensive line. They've got enough tight ends that they could kind of try to widen us out. Is that something that you would sort of think they're going to go after, is try to get the running game going early and then get Jared Goff the opportunity to throw the ball?
I think it is the number one factor in this game, Pete, is can Detroit run the ball effectively? The Vikings have been one of the best teams in the league in terms of stopping the run so far, but that is with Cashman. Another factor here too, Harrison Phillips, who I think has had a great start to the season, he's dealing with a shoulder injury, and he missed some practice time this week. So that's another thing when you're talking about facing the best offensive line. I think it's the best offensive line in the NFL, and I don't even think that there's a close second to the Detroit Lions. And when you talk about, you know, getting kind of wide to the edges, I mean, that's a thing that the Vikings – in previous years, had Danielle Hunter, they had Everson Griffin, but now Jonathan Grenard, Andrew Van Ginkle, these guys are good, but they're not the same type of run-stuffing players as you may have seen in the past from the traditional 4-3 defensive ends. And I think running to the edges is a factor. And once they get the run going and they can start doing play actions and things like that, that's how you get Jared Goff going 18 for 18 in a game or something like that, as he did a couple of weeks ago. There's really nothing a defense can do when the other team can run the ball effectively. It opens up everything. And so if you can at least limit it, you know they're going to hit on some runs. These guys are too good. Jahmyr Gibbs is fantastic. Montgomery has killed the Vikings in the past when he was with the Chicago Bears. Can you at least limit and not allow them to reel off first downs without Goff having to do anything? Because then you start setting up those deep passes. Jameson Williams is definitely a guy to watch now in terms of hitting on those deep balls. So this is a fantastic offense versus a fantastic defense. I mean, it's, you can't ask for much better than this matchup between these two teams.
All right, last one for you. Better chance of winning today, Minnesota Vikings or your Minnesota Lynx over the New York Liberty tonight?
Oh man. I mean, both are probably a coin flip, though. I do think the Lynx, it's going to be hard. I mean, they got to go to New York. That crowd's going to be insane there. The referees have been a factor quite a bit. I'm just saying that both coaches have called out the refs in that series. They've been a factor. But I do think the Lynx have a good chance. They played every game close, so they do have a good chance to bring home a championship. But what a day in Minnesota sports, right, guys?
Yeah.
What a day. We could be only winners by the end of the day today. We wouldn't even know what to do with ourselves. Matt, thanks, buddy. Enjoy having you on.
Really appreciate it.
All right, thanks so much, guys.
All right, enjoy the Gjallarhorn and the chicken tenders down at U.S. Bank Stadium. We'll take a quick break. Come back. We'll finally do the fast break. You're listening to The Huddle on 830 WBC.
Shh. Yes, for the first time in 15 seasons, you guys, the New York Yankees are headed back to the Fall Classic.
Oh, thank goodness. Oh,
yes.
They need it.
Yeah, New York market needed a playoff team for sure.
They've gone through so much over there, so many years of
trials,
not winning.
Tribulation.
Give me a break.
Darn payroll, I tell you. Well, we've seen the Guardians make it to the ALCS this season. We've seen the Royals and Tigers make it to the ALDS. Dave, we'll start with you. Is the AL Central, besides the White Sox, the best division in baseball?
Besides the White Sox and the Twins.
Yeah.
Let's be honest. Yeah. Is it the best division in baseball? I think it's probably one of the most upcoming in the league. And the Royals and the Guardians both have some very good young talent.
Yeah.
Although I will say, and I forget, is it Gattis who was pitching last night there at the end for Cleveland?
Sure. Mm-hmm.
The pitch he put up there for Soto, which he just decked into the front, into the, you know, the seats, no problem. I'm sure that's not where he wanted to put it. That was not a good pitch. And earlier in the game, Soto homered on almost the exact same pitch. So, like, okay, you make your mistakes. Nonetheless, I think they're the most up. I think it's the most up and coming division in, at least in the American League, I would say. But that's not good news for the Twins and the White Sox, because they are not on those same trajectories.
And at some point, we're going to find out who the owner of the Twins might become. I know
possibly.
A lot of people that are knocking on the door, guys. There's a lot of people on Wall Street that are very, very excited about the fact that there's a professional sports team in the major sports that is sitting out there. And the Minnesota Twins being that team. And they're in a division that doesn't pay. Like, look at Detroit, Kansas City, Cleveland, as opposed to New York. It's completely different. And yet, I think there's a lot of people excited about what the Twins could be with maybe a little bit of cash flow coming in.
Well, have any of those Wall Street guys, have they faced disappointment in their life? Because they are
they have. Up for, they
getting
understand.
Ready. They better be ready, I tell you.
It's a 10 or a 20-year sort of investment, right? And I think in the next 10 or 20 years, they probably end up doing pretty well. But the initial first three or four, that's going to be a problem probably.
Well, Pete, it's been a wild year in the SEC alone in college football. Georgia taking down Texas yesterday. Oklahoma not really having the right pieces yet for SEC play, it seems. And amazingly enough, there are two teams I don't think are getting enough credit in LSU and Texas A&M, given their schedule and weighing that with the rest of the conference. A&M is 4-0. LSU is 3-0 in conference play. Pete, who do you think is the top dog in the SEC?
Is that a hint for me to say Georgia?
That might be. I do have dog here in quotations, so it might
be. By the way, why did Arkansas schedule LSU for homecoming?
Mistake.
We watched that game last night. That was so stupid. Go ahead, Pete. Sorry.
Yeah. Well, I will tell you this, and I think that LSU, their eyes got wide open right early in the season, right? And they've been on a roll ever since. Their defense has played really well. Their offense has gotten better and better and better. Great quarterback play. We always know that this is wide receiver U, right? Everybody who's a great receiver goes to LSU. Some go to Ohio State. The majority go to LSU. I think the surprise and probably the sleeper has got to be Texas A&M. Who thought that they would be here at this point in the season when you've got teams like Texas and you've got Georgia and you've got Alabama and all those schools, right? And Oklahoma, I'll throw that one in there for you, Josh, because I know you're such a huge fan, but it is amazing how balanced this is becoming, and maybe it's a factor of NIL and the portal. So as negative as I've been on that whole thing, maybe this is why the SEC looks the way it does right now. I like LSU.
Dave?
I actually think it's probably Georgia. I mean, that's not a big surprise, right? The SEC is always so good. They're just year in and year out, although I am curious what – I'm very curious what life is like at Alabama today. Let's just say that. I mean, we all knew it wasn't going to be the same without Nick Saban, but that's a tough act to follow.
Dave,
it's I was just going to say real quick that's how it started for Saban, too.
Yes,
so,
it did.
You know, if we go back in time, he had a couple of bumps in the road his first year, but they are losing. I heard somebody else talking about this, and I totally agree. The great players that are sitting on the bench want to get out, and that's where the portal comes into play, and they're going to other schools in the SEC or anywhere else, and I think that's giving us a little bit more player value that they need in the rest of the conference.
Dave, I'm going to one-up your homecoming question. Why did Oklahoma think it was a good idea to schedule a football game on homecoming weekend? Like, obviously, they didn't show up to play yesterday. They didn't show up to play last week. What, who would schedule a homecoming game in Oklahoma on homecooming weekend? That's just absurd.
That's a great question, Josh.
My
great
gosh.
Question.
Oh, man. Well, Dave, really we're gonna jump to you on this one. Now, this past week, a move was made I don't think a lot of people saw coming. Even was already at Aaron Rodgers' house during his hit with Pat McAfee. But Davante Adams is now a New York Jets. Jets. Dave, does Davante Adams going to the Big Apple change anything for the now Robert Saleh-less Jets?
No, because they still have Aaron Rodgers as a quarterback. I don't think Aaron Rodgers has it anymore. He just doesn't. And frankly, the whole situation in New York, it just irks me. And I wonder, too, and Pete, I wondered this immediately. Mm-hmm. I wonder if Saleh didn't, you know, I am sure that it didn't just happen all of a sudden that they went after Davante Adams. There has to be some sort of Robert Saleh probably didn't want him, and Aaron Rodgers did. Do you think that has anything to do with it?
Yeah, absolutely. And I think at the fact that Aaron Rodgers has completely taken over, he's essentially the GM of the New York Jets, right?
Which it's such a bad idea.
It is.
Why do these teams, you know, I mean, I don't know. I just, when you bring him in, you know that what you're getting with Aaron Rodgers, and they knew what they were getting. But once again, people look aside and say, well, if he can throw touchdowns, if he can help us win, then we'll take it. But he can't. Now, they've lost their last three. They're 4-2 this year, and so they go out and get Davante Adams. Meanwhile, probably alienating one of the best young wide receivers in the game, Garrett Wilson.
Yeah,
who's been very good for them. What's going to happen with him? Alan Lazard. I mean, who knows? But you know, what's going to happen with him? Now you bring in Davante Adams, and now you're messing up the future. You know, everything's. You know, what are you looking at past here? So I just. This never works out well. You cannot have one player running the team. And they've kowtowed to Aaron Rodgers, and they have signed, you know, their deal with the devil, so to speak, with him, and now they have no choice. But it doesn't work. I will be amazed if this changes the Jets season in any way at all.
And I'll as good as Davante Adams is, I don't know that he's a game changer for this team right now. Yeah. And I think the problem, too, is, to your point, Dave, when you look at Aaron Rodgers, he is not the Aaron Rodgers that they signed. And I go all the way back, and then they got the injury game one a year ago. And that he has not recovered. He can't throw the ball the same way. He can't plant the same way. And because of all that, I don't know that Davante Adams is the answer. Maybe the answer is a better offensive line or somebody. You know, they need something else, but I don't think receiver was a problem.
If Aaron Rodgers was a free agent acquisition or a rookie, let's just say he's a second-year guy in this league, and he's not Aaron Rodgers. Mm-hmm. A 50 QBR, a 61 completion percentage, 9 touchdowns, and 9 interceptions. That you're not going to even keep that guy in the lineup. You're going to bench him and bring in your backup. It's silly. He's not the same guy, and they're hoping that he's going to just keep making a change, and he doesn't.
Yep.
All right, we're going to – Pete, since you are the stock market star, I'm going to ask you this question. And it is a hockey question. It's kind of rhetorical, but just bear with me on this one. As David mentioned before, after 5 games, the Wild are in the middle of the Western Conference, I should say Central standings right now, with a 3-0-2 record. But I don't think a lot of people are focusing on the bigger story of the NHL season so far, and that is – the 0-5 Nashville Predators. Anybody that has followed this team over the offseason knows that they pretty much put all their chips into one craps table, and they are pretty much gambling big on their season. And I guess I want to get your guys' thoughts on this. Should teams do what the Predators have done, essentially, and just putting all their eggs into one basket with such a big, huge gamble like they've made? And, you know, obviously it's concerning that I know it's only a handful of games in, but 0-5 is, and you don't have things clicking yet with your power play or anything. It's a little scary, if you ask me.
That is scary, and you really do wonder. And I defer to Dave; he's the hockey guy. He understands this. But as a financial guy, just looking at what Nashville has done, and you put all your eggs in one basket, I can tell you this, that is never a great idea in the stock market. There's no doubt about that. And I would say that that's probably exactly what they're doing right now. The eggs are in one side of it. And is it going to work? So far, not so good. But we're only 0-5. We've got plenty of games to go still, Dave. But I defer to you on this one. Would you, if you were managing a team, is that how you would do it?
I will say that signing even if he is Steven Stamkos, signing a 34-year-old to a big contract like that, I'm never a big fan of, because it, you know, once you get past 30 in the NHL, unless you're a goaltender, statistically your best years are behind you. What's really disconcerting for this team is that they're just not scoring goals. I mean, they scored 2 against Detroit, 2 against Edmonton. They lost to Seattle 7-3.
Yeah,
they got shut out by Detroit. What's that?
Not good. It's,
no, it's
to your
not.
Point, and I knew once I saw the news that Stamkos had signed, I thought, man, in 2008, this would have been a great deal.
But not when he's 34.
You are talking about one of the most grizzled veterans left in hockey right now.
Yeah, not when he's 34 years old. But, you know, they do still – they have some of the, if not one of the best goaltenders in the league in UC Soros, but – even he's got a 3.64 goals.
That's one
right
of the
now.
Big top stories with their season so far, too, is he's got the defense going in front of him, but he's the one that's letting all these just bad shots go by, and he's kind of letting this kind of unravel pretty quickly so far, and that's surprisingly because I agree with you. He's one of the best in the league, but he's definitely one of the bigger reasons why they're struggling and are facing an 0-5 deficit right now.
And well, maybe he's tired of seeing his offense just score two goals a game.
Doesn't this feel a little reminiscent of what we were talking just before this with going with an older player, and we're going with Aaron Rodgers and everything else that's going on with the Jets, and you put a lot of money into it? I think that's never a great decision, especially on the age factor. That's the part that's going to hurt.
They're tied for 18th in the league in power play percentage. That ain't good.
Their power play is not good. Their shots are all – I was kind of doing some research. All their shots are pretty much getting blocked. Saros is letting everything in, but especially and nothing on their special teams is as far as chemistry is clicking, and that's never good when you're fresh out of the gate. I know you're five games in, but if you don't have a single thing clicking so far, that's worrisome if you ask me.
It's five games in, but Steven Stamkos and Philip Gustafson have the same amount of goals this season. I'll just leave it at that.
That's a great stat.
I'll leave it there. Thank you very much. Is that it?
That is all for Fast Breaks.
That's it. Josh, thank you. It was a phenomenal Fast Break.
You made it possible.
Great job. All right. We'll take a quick break and back and put a wrap on the show. You're listening to The Huddle. 830 WCCO. All right. So I was reading this earlier today that Tua Tagovailoa is supposed to practice this week with an eye on making a return in week 7. I was flabbergasted, I think is the right word, about this, Pete. I get it. You're a ball player. This is all he's known his whole life. Everything has been football. But you've made it. You did it, and he's had 5 or 6 concussions. How many has he even had diagnosed at this point?
Yeah.
At some point, for your health, you have to say, listen, I've done everything that I can, but it's not like he's ever going to be worried about money. He's done just fine.
Yep.
This is about pride, and this is about wanting to get back in there. And I get it. I get the mentality. I understand it. I don't subscribe to it, but I understand it. But not only is this a bad – am I surprised that he's thinking this way? Why aren't the people around him saying to him, listen, this is your life you're talking about. You know, I get it. You're a 20-something kid, and you think that you're invincible and that nothing's ever going to bother you. But this is – there are many – many cases of, and I'll say it, just CTE, that come from concussions. You need to think about your livelihood after this. Why isn't someone in his ear saying, listen, we love you, we know you love football, but it's time to walk away?
Well, and particularly, Dave, the circumstances and having to watch it as fans and seeing, what looks to be an absolutely incredibly uncomfortable situation to watch a guy getting carted off like that.
Yeah.
It's just one of these things where I think that somebody's got to step up, and I don't know who that is. I don't know if that means that it's the front office of the NFL or somebody from the Miami Dolphins or how they're going to handle this whole thing. Obviously, as a player, they want him on the field. They just do. But I think you've got to do the right thing here. And if he's had as many issues as he's had already, and significant, there is a difference between the severity of concussions that we've seen over the years. Yeah. And I think that he's had enough of the ones that are, let's just say, on a meter of 1 to 10, too many 9s and 10s that have hit him. He's got to understand that. And I think that if I were part of his family or even on the team, I think I would try to convince the guy, hey, look, we love you, we want you, but you need to really look at this and know that you probably need to walk away. Unless there's some proof from somebody that tells you something else, I don't know how you could sit there. And if you're the owner of the team, how do you even do that? How do you not just say, hey, look, we love you. You're going to get paid. You're going to get this. You're going to get that. But we can't put you back on the field. It just doesn't work because of your past. And I think somebody has to step up and make that that sort of a plan for him, a game plan, and he can go off and live a great life. But
maybe,
just I feel terrible for the guy.
Well, he had two during the 2022 season. I'm not sure how many, if he had one last year. And supposedly he has worked hard on, you know, getting out of the way and things like that so that he doesn't have these concussions.
Yeah.
But this is, and who knows? I mean, we're not there. And I don't want to make it seem like I understand what this young man is going through, because it's, you know, you're talking about, regardless of the money, you're talking about something you've dedicated your life to. And I get it. You've every day that you've been, since you can remember, you've played football, and this is what you wanted, and I get it. But two concussions in 2022, another one this year, and maybe people are telling him, look, man, you know, this, enough's enough. And you're right, Pete. If I'm ownership of the Miami Dolphins, do I really want to put this guy back on the field? And from a business standpoint, deal with all of the extra that's going to come along with if he gets hit again? And it is scientific. If you have concussions, every time, you know, you're more susceptible to having them again in the future. Mm-hmm. This is not, if he goes back and plays football again, this will not be his last concussion. I think it's pretty safe to say that.
He needs
unless
to watch
he changes
that movie.
Positions.
He needs
What's
to watch that?
That
he needs to watch the movie Concussion. He needs to watch
goodness.
It three or four times. Yeah. Just take a look at that and get a better understanding. And we have progressed from that point, extremely far from that point. And you've just got to figure out, you know, what does it really mean? Because you could have all the money in the world. I know you want to play, but, you know, sometimes somebody's got to step in, help the kid out on making a decision on this.
All right, let's do our predictions really quick. Vikings-Detroit today, who you got?
I think Detroit sort of surprises the Vikings today. I think if they have success running the football, which I think they will, I think it makes the Lions a 28-21 winner.
Sam Darnold, 4 touchdowns, Vikings.
Wow.
I'm just going to go that. Lynx, Liberty, who you got?
Lynx, absolutely. Yeah. They I think they figured it out, and I think they've stopped somebody at New York that if they can stop her again, they've got a great shot of winning this thing.
I would agree. I think they have depth. I think the fact that they can have a bad game from Nafisha Collier but still win, that matters. So 2 great games. When we talk to you next Sunday, we could just be all wins all the time.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof like Aloe, Allbirds, or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling and for shoppers buying simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet and the not so secret secret with Shop Pay that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going. So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell whenever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout experience as business powerhouses like Aloe, Allbirds, and Skims. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast to upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
For the past 3 seasons of Gone South, we've covered one story per season. Now, Gone South is back for a 4th season. But this time, we're doing things a little differently. In Gone South Season 4, we'll be bringing you new stories every week with no end in sight. Listen to and follow Gone South, an Odyssey original podcast, on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
That'd be crazy. Have a great week, everybody. Enjoy your Sunday, and we will talk to you next week.
For the past 3 seasons of Gone South, we've covered one story per season. Now, Gone South is back for a 4th season. But this time, we're doing things a little differently. In Gone South Season 4, we'll be bringing you new stories every week with no end in sight. Listen to and follow Gone South, an Odyssey original podcast, on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.